Shabbat shalom. Certainly the heart is still framed in spite of one's chanting of the holy name with concentration, and if it does not change when an ecstasy does not take place, tears do not fill the eyes and hands do not stand in end. It's like a stone-hearted person. So we see here Sutta Goswami is actually kind of chastising the conditioned living entity. And as we saw in Prabhupada's letter, incidentally, what a mysterious connection, that the same chastisement when what Prabhupada was doing to the pure devotees, similar to his disciples, and here we see Bhagavatam is also chastising. So scriptures, when they chastise, it is not out of frustration or some kind of disappointment or their own hatred within them which they are expressing. It is out of compassion and out of love. Otherwise they don't speak. And when conditioned living entities, many of them who are faithless in the principle of devotional service, who don't have enough love for God, and when they open such books and when they read that, oh, you are having ear holes like snakes, tongue like a frog, eyes like plumes of peacock, try to conceive a personality, try to do a painting with such eyes, such ears, such tongue, such heart, such head, it will become a kind of Virat Roop, which will be very frightening. When Arjun saw the Virat Roop, he was scared, but his fear delivered all of us. Arjuna's confusion delivered all of us. Arjuna's bewilderment delivered all of us. When we are bewildered, others are drowned actually. They get in misery. Has it ever happened that our bewilderment, our fear has caused some transcendental thing to happen? Never. So, any act which is apparently kind of on a mundane platform which happens, which is expressed by a pure devotee, or even when the Shastra is chastised, what the Shastra basically is, Sutta Goswami is chastising. That is not to be seen from mundane point of view. It is still extraordinary. Chanakya Pandit says, when a wise person, when he sees this, when he hears this, he becomes enlightened. Chanakya Pandit says, those who are faithless and one who is a fool, if you preach to a fool, instead of becoming enlightened, he becomes angry. That is a characteristic of a fool. If you tell something reality or truth to him, instead of reflecting and introspecting within his own heart, oh, is this true? Am I like this? Or what should I do? Instead of that, he feels offended. So that is the condition of one when, if we read the scripture and we are unable to relate it to practically, that means it's our own intelligence which is exposed. Where we are unable to, there is some foolishness within our own heart. And nobody wants to, basically, everybody wants to talk of spirituality and whatsoever, but nobody is concerned with pure devotional service to Krishna. Therefore, Sutta Goswami in this verse, he goes to detailed levels of explanation of this whole concept of devotional service. So far, earlier also in the few chapters, three verses, the glories of devotional service are described that how that even if you are in the most fallen condition, if the soul is in the most fallen condition, still by worshipping the Lord, he can be delivered. So, a living entity is trying to be attracted by the Shastra, that, oh, you know, somehow you do, you will get benefited. Like the verse in the first canto, Akama Sarva Kama Va Moksha Kama Udharati Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Yajeta Purushottama. Somehow or the other, if you worship Lord Hari, even with all materialistic ambitions, material desires of Brahman or for pure devotional service, you will be delivered. Why such verses come in the Bhagavatam? Because the tendency of a conditioned living entity is to see for the benefits first and then act on the situation. Without that, he won't do. Like we are considered with devotional service. We are concerned with attachment and we are concerned with detachment. But why are we concerned? If the attachment is giving us greater pleasure, then we are not fearful of it or we are not much concerned of giving it up. And the moment that attachment causes distress, then we start valuing detachment. And the detachment is better position. So our attachment, our detachment, both we like or we like to follow detachment at one point of time or attachment because it gives us pleasure. We are not concerned to take responsibilities or give up responsibilities just for the pleasure of Krishna. So because devotional service gives us some satisfaction, su-sukham, the nature, the first characteristic of devotional service is gives some satisfaction and pleasure. Therefore we start relating to it. And the moment there are some challenges or not external challenges, the internal challenges where we are not deriving some joy by the practice of spirituality, then we start becoming disturbed. Why? That is what is called a conditioned living entity. Unless this condition is fulfilled and he is getting pleasure at every point of time, even within devotional service, it will become difficult to continue. And basically this principle this actually is the core, deepest core of our heart. This is called a Mayavad principle. Where although we are externally doing devotional service, more than attraction to the main person, we are also happy within the happiness. We are just satisfied and contented with the peace and pleasure which we are deriving in the heart. Although we have not derived pleasure in hearing about the pastimes of Krishna. Somehow that I like, when I am in devotee association of devotees, it's very nice. I chant very nice. But you talk of Krishna's pastime, he lifted Govardhan, immediately our Govardhan starts falling. You talk about Krishna's butter, Makhanchur Lila or Damodar Lila, and we say, oh my God, your own stomach starts hungering for hunger. We don't enjoy those. So although we are so-called liking the process, we don't like the main person, main object of the whole theory, philosophy which is going on. So at the subtle level, this is nothing but a kind of a Mayavad kind of principle. What is basically impersonalism? Mayavad theory is what? You know? You are attracted to the ulterior motives, ulterior objects, but you don't glorify sufficiently that person. Somebody gives you something, you start loving. Why? Because he's giving me a lot of money. He has helped me in my business. He has helped me become big. But if he has helped you for 10 years, 15 years, you all glorify him. But at the same time, if that person, once he challenges you, in your business or in your regular thing, immediately we lose respect for that person. Why? What does that mean? That there was no attraction to that person whatsoever at any point of time. The whole attraction was coming because of all that he is giving us. So conditioned living entity has this tendency to take what is convenient and then reject what is inconvenient. Not from Krishna's point of view, from his point of view. So this is nothing but impersonalism. Impersonalism means like you have this book or Bhagavatam or you have this food and you smell it and you say the food is very nice. Then maybe you also look at the food and you say it's very nice. Maybe you also eat the food, it is very nice. But then when it comes to glorify the person, you say, why you need to glorify? Just pay him some money. And you want to get rid and not feel more obligation for that person. So conditioned living entity, everything he can, times tries to deal with that particular way. So that is what Tamal Krishna Maharaj was once explaining about this principle of pure not pure devotional service, sorry, but professional devotional service. So he mentioned, what is professional devotional service? I discussed this in the Friday meeting, so those who are there, don't answer. Others can please contribute. What do you think is professional devotional service? Expect something out of something. Orders?
Going through the process mechanically.
Going through the process mechanically. What else?
Trying to impress others.
Trying to impress others. Bring it out of duty. So he put it very nicely. He said professional devotional service means doing your chanting without actually chanting, hearing Bhagavatam without actually hearing, jumping and dancing in the kirtan without actually feeling any joy. It means externally you are dancing, but there is nothing internal. So this is professional devotional service. Why? Because we do our professional activities that way. We are not in love with our companies and our boss that every day morning we are waiting, when will I take darshan of this temple? Merrill Lynch, JP Morgan, DBS, UBS. And we go there and say, oh, where is the main presiding deity, my boss? We are not hankering to see. And yet when he sees him, we give a very broad smile. Good morning, sir. Everything is fine. And then, Shastra says that we are actually Kinkara. Kinkara means what? A servant. Why it is servant? Because Kinkara, servant always asks, what should I do for you? So in that, we become a Kinkara to our bosses. Although we hate him, we ask him, what is there for me today? What blessings you are showering upon me? Because of which I will derive some fruits of my service in the form of few dollars. So, although we have no love, no affection, no attraction, still we do our jobs with all smiling face and everything, and externally everybody feels how perfectly situated in the job. The job is so stable. So professional devotional service means like that. We deal with it in such a way that externally it appears very nice tilak, straight, absolutely. Nice bright tilak, nice kantimala, nice haircut, and we always see Hare Krishna, we know the ISKCON lingo very nicely. And the people say, what a fantastic devotee. So nicely fixed up. Perfect. And internally we are devastated, the job is unstable. Recession is going on. In Kali Yuga, pure devotional service is always in recession. So we have no love, there is eternal recession in the heart. And then, still we appear externally that everything is fine to the other person. Cheating ourselves and cheating others. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj says this. This is called professional devotion, sir. And professional devotion, in fact devotion and devotional service is not our profession. It is actually our constitutional position. And because we are not dealing it with that particular mood, we don't derive the benefits. Because we are dealing with an ulterior motive, we derive the ulterior pleasures. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, that when a living entity is not concerned with Krishna, although he is following the so-called process of devotional service, and he is not concerned with actually getting attracted to Krishna, that what he is awarded profit, adoration and distinction. Puja La Pratishtha, that is awarded to that living entity. But he is bereft of all the opportunities of the greater joy of devotional service. And therefore, this particular verse is here, the Bhagavatam is directly telling, use these eyes to see the Lord, use these hands to serve Him, use these legs to do yatra. use that term to glorify Him. Where it is encouraged that all these senses are actually engaged in the service, in the direct service of the personality of Godhead. These are two different things. One is criticism of this material world. That how that is called philosophy. That how the material body is temporary, material world is temporary, the mind and senses are dragging, and what you need. This is all philosophy. And this is not even direct spirituality. Spirituality begins when it is actually talking about Krishna, how to get attracted to Krishna as a person directly. And nowadays people don't want to do it. Like they celebrate Diwali. But what is Diwali celebration? Huh? Lakshmi Puja or worshipping firecrackers? So go and purchase firecrackers and you say, now I am celebrating Diwali. But Diwali was supposed to celebrate Lord Ram and the killing of Lord Ram. Or maybe the Damodar. So Jayadrath Maharaj says, what is Christianity now? Christianity simply means shopping for Christmas. That has become Christianity. Similarly, Hinduism has also become like that. Do some shopping, burst some firecrackers, throw some colors, you are doing Holi. Burst some firecrackers, you celebrated Diwali. But God is not in the picture. Who is the main person for which you have to do all this celebration? So therefore here, the Bhagavatam is ensuring that you directly glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unless that is done, there can never be a considerable change and purification in one's heart. Because all in this, all floating giant resistance, there is no professional way to get rid of one's anarthas. Except for chanting and glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is why sometimes these things appear to be utopian. We don't relate to the rational mind. That how by chanting Hare Krishna our heart can become purified. Because we don't see any connection, any physical connection. Except for this one particular statement that because Krishna is the supreme purest person and he is absolute, when we chant his name, he personally becomes present in the form. And that also does not relate to the rational mind. Because we are alpha majors, we are not so intelligent. Still there is no such process to purify. Therefore, Shastras out of compassion, they insist to the conditioned living entity. Please glorify her, please chant, please chant, please chant. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he used to tell, there are two concepts in spirituality. One is anartha nivritti and the other is artha pravritti. What is anartha nivritti? Anartha nivritti means all the things we do in spiritual life or in the attempt to become in the process of spiritual life or sadhana, it is basically focused on purifying one's existence. So when all the activities are done to purify one's existence, that does not mean that we will naturally have love for the Supreme Personality of God. Because how can you love someone whom you don't know properly? Can you actually love someone because you just become purified? It is not possible. Just like you have this white kurtas. In fact, our kurtas are always also white and we dye them in saffron. So when the kurta, when you keep on washing and washing because it is dirty, you keep washing it, what happens is that along with the dirt, the saffron color also goes away. So it becomes pale. So purification is like that. The anarthas go away, but that does not mean that you have the actual color. Got it? So you need to, not only you clean it to have a clean kurta, but you also have to dye it to get the proper color again. Similarly, anartha nivritti is like that. You do the processes of devotional service to purify your existence. But what is artha pravritti? What are you doing extra to get attracted to Krishna? Is there any attempt?
So Prabhupada also and Srila Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur, both of them gave very great emphasis. That don't just keep talking about how this material world is miserable, how this body is miserable, job is unstable, and keep threatening people. Take shelter of Krishna, anything can happen to you. So people come to Krishna out of fear, oh, at least he will protect. And many years we just spend like that. But in reality, it is other way around. When you come to Krishna, things go very... things don't become so secure in that. Krishna makes it slightly easy. He starts playing with you. Because he is that kind of person. Now you cannot object why he is like that. That you cannot object on him. Because he is not like a democratic leader, all of us that, okay, if you don't, then I will stop worshipping you. So you have to follow. The leader of today, he is the people can dictate. But we cannot dictate Krishna. Just because we are chanting and everything. In fact, by coming to devotional service, as long as Krishna was not born in Gokul, Mathura and Vrindavan, there were no demons. They were living peacefully. And the moment Krishna was born, every day one demon was attacking Vrindavan, Gokul. So in fact, considering that surrendering to Krishna, everything will become fine, that is also a wrong process. Bhagavad Gita actually teaches like that, but Bhagavatam gives the inside story. So Bhagavad Gita is like, you know, in the, when you are going for shopping, on the mall outside it is written, say 50% off. So you see 50% off. So the same shirt which is for $150, it is written 50% off. You think it is $75. But then you read the price and it is $800. So what they do, they increase the price and then they sell 50% off. So Bhagavad Gita is like that. Krishna is all merciful, he will take care of everything and you get attracted. And then immediately it is revealed. But you have to do good things. But sometimes he may do like this, still you have to love him. But he may completely neglect you also. Still you have to love him. And not only that, it goes so specific. Man mana, bhava madhaktu, madhyaji, maam namaskar. You have to bow down in front of him. You have to offer interest to him. You talk about him. You listen about him. Everything about him. Imagine. You use your hands, use your legs, use your tongue, use your nose also. Nobody speaks in this material world like that. Nose, you use tulsi from my leg, okay? And for ears you hear what I say. For eyes look at me. And how? First you begin from the feet, and then the specific way to look at the eyebrow, the waist, the thighs. See, adore my tribhanga lalita form. So all these things in detail explained, and then in return what you will give? Don't expect anything in return. Your duty is to do what I tell you, not to expect anything in return. So when we start hearing these concepts, or when we actually experience that we are doing devotional service but nothing is happening, it creates a great confusion. Am I actually doing devotional service? So one time Radhana Swami Maharaj was telling that don't judge yourself whether you are actually performing devotional service or not by how your mind and senses are pleased. Today my mind and senses are liking, therefore I am doing rightly, and now suddenly my mind is not feeling the joy doing the same activity. That does not mean that you are doing it wrongly. As long as you are sincerely doing, judge yourself just by your endeavor in performing that devotional service. If you are still endeavoring, that means you are doing nicely. So the mind and soul, as I read on the in your base here, the mind while chanting, your mind and senses may become miserable, but the soul is feasting in joy. Therefore, very interesting in this verse, Prabhupada mentions the process.
process of spirituality. What was the verse number?
The first process in the routine work of devotional service is hearing. Why? Because it helps us to judge ourselves. It helps us to relieve us from our own misunderstandings. When we read scriptures, when we hear devotees even the greatest difficulties they practice, it gives lot of hope. In fact, hearing is such a process that even if you personally know all the philosophy, you know all the tips and tricks of devotional service, what to do when you are in stress and when you are in distress and misery, when you have to apply the knowledge, it becomes very difficult. But hearing is such a process, when the same thing is told by someone else, it helps you, although you know it. That is the magic of hearing. Therefore, one devotee was telling that although we know everything, he was telling to another devotee when he was in distress, he was telling you, I am telling you all these things. He gave him counseling for 1 hour. That Prabhuji, don't feel like this. You have to overcome these troubles of mind and senses, this way. And he was counseling. And then towards the end, he told one thing. He said, today I am telling you all this. But tomorrow when I am in distress, you please come and tell me the same thing. Why? Because we cannot understand although we keep reading. When someone else speaks, the burden is relieved. Okay, no problem. Krishna is doing, that means he is playing. He is becoming more perceptive. So, when there is suffering, it is nothing but chastisement of Krishna. That's what this verse, these are going there. Chastisement is going on. So, suffering on a conditioned living entity is actually nothing but Krishna's love in the form of chastisement. So, Bhakti Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, for a devotee, when he is in good situations, when he is enjoying his devotional service, that is the mercy of the Lord. But he says this, that when I am put into miserable situations in life, I consider it as to be a love bite of the Lord. Imagine how he is relating. So very personal expression of love, a love bite. Just as a beloved and a lover, they may share it. So he says this miserable situations in life are like that. But we cannot relate to it. Everything we want is how our senses do. And therefore, actually devotional service is inside out process, that we first love Krishna and therefore we start engaging and use all the faculties of our senses to please Him. But now our condition is there is no love. All that is hankering for material pleasure. So when there is hankering for material pleasures, our senses will naturally attract and naturally start manipulating the material energy. So therefore, considering that there is such a condition of living entity, the Shastras are mentioning this. Otherwise it is so simple to tell a living entity, you love Krishna and Krishna will deliver you. Get attracted to Him, He will deliver. Is that not sufficient for an intelligent person? Suppose you fall in love with some girl, or some girl falls in love with some man or a boy. Do you need to tell a lover or beloved that, okay, you love that person? Okay, so that means you should take a rose on Valentine's Day. Or you should buy a car. Okay, does she have ears? He'll say yes, then you buy earrings. You buy lipstick. She has eyes, then you buy some powder, cream, makeup. She has a neck? You say yes, therefore, adore it with necklace. Does anybody counsel or guide all these things? It is so shameful. It is an insult actually. It is as if a mad person is in love who does not understand this thing. Love means it is understood that he knows all these details. So when the Shastras are telling this, all these things, that adore your neck with the garland of tulsi beads. Use your hand in worshipping. Use your legs. means what? It is actually chastising you, shameless person, you don't know. Why? Because you don't have love. When you don't have love, you have to explain all these details. If you have love for a product, like for a marketing company, if it brings out something so classic and so wonderful, it does not even need to get into the details of the marketing things. Warranty and all these things means what? That it is not so powerful or strong enough that it can attract you. So you need secondary things. Wonderful colors, wonderful designs, wonderful angles, wonderful lights, all that things, so that it becomes attractive. So right now we don't have love for the process, the person itself. And therefore the only way to deal is to actually block the living entity from doing his activities in a wrong way, from the senses. So all the love is being diverted in different ways, and these are the channels, these are the exits. From the main highway of love, these are the exits. Hands, legs, eyes, nose, smell, hearing. And therefore the acharyas are trying to block it. Hearing Krishna Katha, Tulsi, Krishna Smaran. Like that they are trying to block the process. And therefore, this is called anartha nivritti. When the same process comes inside out, right now we are doing the external so that it touches our heart. That is called anartha nivritti. And artha pravritti means the same thing is coming from within the heart. Out of love, you do the same activity externally. The love manifests externally. That is called artha pravritti. The actions are done with love for God. There is an attraction. So therefore, Rupa Goswami says this verse. Because the senses, the owner of all the senses is Rishikesh. And when the senses are actually engaged in the service of the owner, Rishikesh, Rishikesh, what is that verse? Sarvopadhi nirmuktam tat paratvena nirmalam. Rishikesh, Rishikesh sevanam. And when the senses are engaged in the service of the owner of the senses, then paratvena nirmalam, they become pure. And more interesting in this verse is this word, sarva upadhi, upadhi, vinir muktam. Upadhi means a designation. In this material world, what do we consider a designation? Suppose you meet a person on the street and he asks you, my dear sir, what's your name? Who are you? He will tell your name. So what do you do? Immediately if he asks, what do you do? What do you answer by default? Somebody asks you, what is your name? And then he asks, what do you do? What will you answer? What will you answer? What job? But you say, I work in some company. That is a default answer, isn't it? Or somebody has some other answer? Will somebody say, I actually sleep every day, I wake up every day, I eat food at 1 o'clock, in the evening I go for a program, I chant Hare Krishna. Will anybody say this? Why they will not say? Why they will not say the personal things he likes and dislikes? Because he thinks that that is not of much value. And when he says, I do job in this and this company, I am a doctor, I am an engineer, I am a financier, I am a businessman. Why he says like this, he defines his existence. Because he thinks that this particular designation is creating a value to my life. So, by the time a living entity, nobody considers oneself as a soul. Bhagavad Gita directly does not deal with you as businessman, boy, girl, color, caste, creed, gender, anything. It directly says you are not this body, you are spiritual. All the designation, one bazooka, everything is blown. Whoever you are not this body, you are the spiritual. It's like a reset button. All the programs are running in the computer full place and you press reset button. Everything. No need to stop one thing at a time. You are not this body, you are the spirit soul. So Shastras, they actually encourage be free from designation. So it is interesting in the Vaisheshika Sutras, you must have heard in our Vedic system of philosophy, there are these six systems. న్యాయ వైశేషిక కర్మ మీమాంస యోగ సూత్రస్ వేదాంత సూత్రస్ ఎవరు దిస్ సూత్ర మహారాజ్ రిటర్న్ బుక్ ఆన్ ద సిక్స్ సిస్టమ్స్ ఆఫ్ వేదిక్ ఫిలాసఫీ. So in the Vaisheshika Sutra, the proper definition of the word Upadhi comes. It says, Upadhi in Sanskrit means a limiting condition, a self-limiting condition. A condition which limits one's own existence, that is called Upadhi. In material world, we feel that by designations, our value is increasing. Same thing is reverse. It limits your condition in spirituality. And therefore, this verse comes, Sarva Upadhi Vinir Muktam. Unless devotional service is done freed from all designations, freed from all identification, it does not even create the anartha nivritti properly. And therefore the only process which is recommended by this verse is surrender, surrender, surrender. What does this mean? It just encourages surrender one after other. Man mana bhava, the same verse. It is just like that. Sarva dharman parityajya. This series of verses are just like that. It is explaining in detail. Think of me, what do you think? How do you abandon all that? It is just surrender, it's teaching like this. And when the word surrender comes, a living entity starts feeling. In the material world, when somebody says surrender, what do you feel? Surrender? It is considered so obnoxious, as if I lose all my existence, my independence and my identity. But in spiritual world, it is not like that. In Sanskrit, the word surrender is explained as sharanagati. And sharanagati, this word itself is very dynamic. Sharanagati has this word gati in it. Gati means there is an action, there is motion. Material world surrender means as if now everything will stop. But actually the process of surrender to Krishna is very, very dynamic, extremely surcharged. It is not like the way it is in the external situation. Therefore, in the Bhagavatam, although the whole philosophy is explained, more greater emphasis is given on love for Krishna. The Bhagavad Gita enlightens us on basic concepts of material world, body, mind, intelligence and nature. It does not give more things about loving Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God. And Bhagavatam does not describe other things. It directly speaks about glorifying Krishna. Therefore, these three things are very important. Atma Jnana, knowledge for one's own soul, one's own existence. Vairagya, detachment. And Krishna Prem, love for Krishna. When knowledge of one's own existence, of Atma Jnana and Vairagya is not actually diverted in the direction for love for Krishna, it has no value. If somebody just speaks philosophy, very nice, and practices philosophy nicely, but he is not developing attraction for Krishna, he is practicing detachment but does not develop attraction, that is of no value. In the 7th canto, Hiranyakashipu, in fact when Hiranyaksha dies, there is a chapter which deals with Hiranyakashipu speaking philosophy and consoling his relatives. Very interesting, you read the chapter, you will feel as if Krishna is speaking to Arjuna. Same Bhagavad Gita, same thing what Sukadeva Goswami is telling to Parikshit, same what Sukadeva Goswami. And he tells to his mother and other women, other relatives. Why? Because brother is dead. This material world is like this, this material world is temporary. One has to die at one point of time. One has to finally deliver himself from these clutches of this ignorance. One has to get out. He speaks all this philosophy so perfectly. And not only that he could practice the philosophy. Why? Because he could do austerities for thousands of years to gain the mercy of Brahma. So he had vairagya, detachment, and he also had atma jnana. But because he did not know what to do of that, he channelized for whom? or Supreme Personality of Godhead, it created a havoc. The same knowledge about the soul and same detachment, instead of creating good things, it created havoc. So Prabhupada says, it is such a contradicting condition, it is a fearful condition, it is a threatening condition, that you have this material body which is not like an animal, this human body which is not of an animal, but you behave in animalistic condition. So, first of all, an animal is ferocious, but it does not have that much intelligence. So therefore you can control. And now human being, he behaves like an animal, so he will become dangerous. And not only that, but he has an intelligence of a human being, so he becomes even more dangerous. The same knowledge, same detachment. Nowadays you see, all this knowledge and detachment, the yoga, why yoga people want to be in companies? That you become peaceful and endeavor for the profits of the company. This is nothing but Hiranyakashipu's style of function. That you, here in this particular community, countries, health, people are also health conscious. Low fat, low calories, zero fat, this and that. But what is that for? You are being detached from eating rasgulla and paneer and all that. Low fat. But what is that detachment for? Increasing just the bodily concept of life. So although you know that the body is temporary, but you are following all these higher advanced values of life just to make it eternal. Imagine this kind of craziness. In a temporary body, you want a permanent situation. It is impossible. And why this attempt is done? Because you don't even know why all these things, why these principles of detachment and other things are. In fact, Prabhupada used to say, this material world actually cheats us. It does not tell everything in reality. How is that? Like the scriptures, they directly tell that you may be very beautiful and very handsome, but very soon you will become old. Your skin will fall off. Same thing the material world tells us in the form of cosmetic industry. When you see all these powders, lotions, talcum, the talcs, the deodorants, what does it actually tell? My dear, you are not so beautiful. My dear, you are not so pregnant. Take these lipsticks, take these eyelashes, take these deodorants. You stink. So the same thing is told in a different way. She says this material world is enough to educate us on all these things. But it does not speak directly. And that's the same thing. Knowledge, Atma-jnana, Vairagya is there, but Krishna Prem, direct, we don't know where we have to repose. So although we are being externally detached, becoming health conscious, body wise, the same thing Bhagavad Gita speaks in the 6th chapter. What is that? One should not eat too much, one should not eat too. Yukta Ahara Viharasya. Eat regulated, sleep regulated, recreation regulated. But then for what? You don't know. Therefore it creates a greater havoc. Therefore all our acharyas, Prabhupada specifically, the only solution for the people of this age is to chant the holy names of Lord, not even the philosophy. Nobody is going to understand. Therefore Bhagavatam is going directly intravenous. Worship Him, chant His holy names, offer obeisances to Him. Speak His name, although you feel miserable, your soul is dancing. They are going so aggressive. Imagine, it seems as if fanaticism, isn't it? If somebody will read, if some jihadis read, they will say, this is another jihad going on. Doesn't it sound like that? Man mana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji maam namaste. Sarva dharmaan parityaja maam ekam. And do not fear, it's like a verse as if a big mafia boss is telling, do not fear. I am there because you surrendered to me. It seems like that, but it's out of profound love and attachment and affection for the conditioned living entity. So therefore, in the earlier verse when we are reading, this Rishikesh, this senses, when we are lovingly engaged in the service, they actually give the People are not even satisfied with fame, profit, adoration and distinction. Lot of people have got fame and glory. They are not still satisfied. So when this process of devotional service is performed, not with the aim of getting attracted to Krishna, we will get profit, adoration, distinction and we will become famous as good devotees, nice devotees and this and that. But there will not be substantial joy in the heart. Therefore, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam, it should be engaged with the service. That only can give enough joy. Srila Prabhupada, when he was doing one program, he was going to speak on Bhagavad Gita and he was called and Bhagavad Gita was placed and the announcement was that now he is going to speak on Bhagavad Gita. And then he asked, where is the picture of Krishna? So the organizer said that Swamiji, we are not concerned with Krishna, we are concerned with philosophy, that is more important. Prabhupada said, this is the problem, this is called Rakshashi Prabhupada. Bhagavad Gita begins from this. And he actually chastised the organizer in front of everyone. That you want the philosophy of Krishna for your convenience of material life, for your eternity of birth, but you don't want Krishna. This is nothing but Rakshashi Prabhupada. Hiranyakashipu, Ravan, everyone, they also did the same thing. So one story comes of Gopal Bhan. He was a jester in the court of one king. And the king, when he read the Mahabharata, he was very attracted. He said to that person, why don't you write a story of Mahabharata with me as the central character? Me as one of the main characters of Mahabharata, on which the whole Mahabharata revolves. So he basically intended that you make me like Arjun, or mainly Arjun basically, on whom the whole Mahabharata. And Draupadi is also one of the main characters, because the Mahabharata was caused because of her. And he wanted that this particular person should substitute himself, so that for times to come people will remember him as one of the persons in the Shastras. So Gopal Bhan said, okay, I will take some few gold coins from you and I will write it. Because I will have to do research, who was born, which time, and to put your personality, that so and so king was actually married to Draupadi. So means I need to know history here and there. I have to do a lot of research. She said, okay, he gave him few gold coins. And he asked for 3 months. So after 3 months, he summoned that jester and asked that author, that how is the work going on? He said, the work is still going on. I'm still finding it difficult, because to put your character is little bit, you're not so dynamic and this and that like Arjun and all. So he said, no, you have to somehow put it. So he said, then I will take extra, I need some extra money because I have ran out of resources. So he said, okay, take extra gold coins. And he gives. And after that, after 6 months, he is again summoned. And he said, will you put it? He said, now everything is in place, everything is ready. I only want one thing from you now. That you mention the other 5 husbands of your queen. Then other 4 husbands of your queen, then we will publish the literature. And the king got so offended. You rascal, what do you mean? My queen can have only 1 husband. How can you say that she has 4 other husbands? He said, no, but you want to become the main part of Mahabharata, so you have to mention the name, otherwise I cannot put. So he got embarrassed. He said, no, forget it. He said, now I have already committed and taken loan, promised payments to so many people about this giving information. So now you cannot suddenly stop. If you want to stop, you have to give me a few more gold coins. So he said, okay, take some gold coins, but stop this research. And he stops. So condition of living entity is like that. If he tries to put himself in the place of Lord, what happens is that he lands up losing all what he also has, and still he cannot substitute. Because you substitute yourself as God, or what you are not, it's a very big cost. Very, very big cost. So then this person says, okay, maybe it is so difficult to me to put as a character of Mahabharata. He thinks that Ram is so nice. He had only one wife. They said, okay, you do research and put me as a character of main character of Ramayana. So he said, okay, I'll do that. Again the same story, it's the same story. He takes a lot of money and then comes after some time. And he says, now everything is done. But he said, now you have to tell at which point of time Ravan will kidnap your wife. My wife will be kidnapped. I am such a powerful king. He said, this I cannot tolerate. He said, forget about all your research. Just, I am this king of this kingdom. Is it okay for you? He said, it was always okay for us. We have accepted you as a king and our honorary master. The problem is you are become more than that. The problem is with you. So for living entity is like that. When he tries to become what he is not, he never gets any joy. And finally he tells Krishna, you know, when we are full of desire, living entity prays so much. Make me this, make me this, make me the president of Gita Society, make me treasurer, make me secretary or whatever. And then we aim for all these things, and suddenly when it comes, then when we are frustrated with the responsibilities and the challenges and so on, and then we go to Krishna and at the pure duty we say, my dear Krishna, please make me free from all this. As if Krishna only gave it to us in first place. I say, Krishna, I don't want anything of this. I was so nicely chanting and doing service, humble service. Krishna says, when did I actually ask you? When did I give it to you? You actually asked for it. You assumed it. So our condition is like that. Krishna is always a facilitator. He is not a dictator. He is not a controller also like that. Whatever our desires are, he facilitates. And because he does not tell how to regulate ourselves in detail, he tells surrender unto me, but we don't understand that. Therefore, Acharya says, you know, like Krishna tells surrender, but then you don't know what to do, you are confused. You know, when you are taking initiation, it happens. The person who has not been initiated is confused how to approach spiritual master. He does not know anything. And he says, please come, I'll give you initiation. That is not enough. We are confused. Please come and what to do? Should I stand up? Should I walk? Should I kneel down? Should I offer obeisances? Should I look at him or should I look at his feet? All these confusions are there. Isn't it? So then what happens? One who is already a disciple, he tells, okay, now you go and offer obeisances. Don't look here and there, look in his eyes. And then confidently repeats, don't repeat this for regular tables. So devotee guides. So similarly Krishna says, surrender unto me. That's not enough for us to understand. Therefore this Acharya says, means offer obeisances. Use your hand like this. Look at me. Hear about me. So they whisper in our ears that greater detail to simplify our surrender to Krishna. Not to make it burden. Otherwise, if Bhagavad Gita is so simple, he tells surrender. Bhagavad Gita has too many details. Do this, do this, do this. But we don't even understand. And therefore, when all the senses, all our body, mind, intelligence, when it is actually engaged in the service of the Lord, it actually gets an owner. Otherwise, it is actually, as in the previous verse, a very harsh statement. It is otherwise, it is like prostitution. So if we consider ourselves, I was discussing with Pushpa Gopal the other day, we were having a nice talk in his place, Gopal. And this verse is so interesting, it speaks about prostitution. And actually our condition is like that. We have our senses which are actually owned by Krishna, but we don't have enough love for him. So one who is the owner, one who owns us, we are not owning him and we are in love with someone else. So then what is the hope for such a person like us? Who is actually a prostitute or engaged in such activity? So there was one friend of mine. He was in I cannot say a friend as well, but accomplice, you know, in college you know so many people. And some of them are your friends who are into wrong activities. So this particular person, out of his bad association, he started associating with some of the prostitutes actually. You have these beer bars and all, you know, people performing there. So he was associating with one such person. And in that association, he not only got attracted physically, but he gave in emotionally also. And he fell in so-called love for that particular person, so-called affection. And that person also told him, this prostitute told him, that you see my profession is such, I'm engaged in such kind of nasty activities, day in, day and night, I have to sell my body to so many people. Do you still love me? He said, yes, I love. And she said, I also love you so much. And she promised to make a living with him, in spite of all difficulties. This person got so emotionally attached that he would not even consider. When I came to know, I'm giving a personal example, when I came to know, I told you have gone crazy or what? First of all, you are doing wrong activities, and not only that, now you have actually owned a person, or you are falling in for such a person who has no values or character in life. The answer he gave was very profound actually. He said, the very fact that she also loves me, that is enough for me to overlook all her conditions. So that is our hope. Although we are in a condition like a prostitute, we are engaged in so many things. Because Krishna loves us so much, like that particular prostitute, this person loved her, therefore she had a chance to come out of that pathetic situation. Although she was caught up. We are also part of this material world. We have sold out ourselves to so many activities, relations, duties, responsibilities in whichever way. Our heart and our mind. So we are no less than a prostitute. Yet in that condition, because Krishna loves us so much, and because we have some attraction for Krishna, and we have told Krishna, Krishna please help me, please take me. Krishna says, this one particular act of yours, one desire of yours, that you want to come back to me, it is enough that I will overlook all your faults. That is enough for me. Therefore he speaks this verse in the Bhagavad Gita, apicheta sudhuracharo bhajate mamananyava sadhureva samantavya. If my devotee, although he is engaged in abominable acts, by chance, by committing mistakes or by situations, but because he is in the core of his heart, he wants to come to me, you should consider him a sadhu. Like this person, when I told you are mad, you are in love with a prostitute, you know what he told you, be shocked. He said, if you speak this again, I will break your mouth. And I was shocked. He was ready to punch me on the face. What I was defining, I was not giving some my own feelings. I was just telling, oh, she is in this position, you are in this position, good family, Marwadi businessman. What Krishna gives a punch to living other people like that. So my devotee, even if he commits a mistake, because he is my devotee and he loves me, that is enough for me and not for me. You should also consider that he is a sadhu. Although he is like a prostitute. Just imagine. Krishna is giving so much concession, so much love. This is what our acharya are telling. He is such a wonderful person, such a extremely magnanimous person. Therefore in the story of Jesus Christ, when Mary, she wants to surrender that particular prostitute, Jesus Christ does not even consider what profession from which she is. What he says, this particular woman, because she has washed her my feet with her tears, therefore I own her. So we cannot sometimes understand why it is like that. Therefore living in it is sometimes difficult. How is it possible? I am so conditioned, I am so sinful, I am so desired. How is it possible? How is it possible? And Acharya says, you keep doing the needful thing, but how is it possible? You see, I mean, he is promising so much, but for them, why unnecessary you are telling? How is it possible? But still, how is it possible? Why? Because we want to understand everything through mind and senses. Not possible. Therefore, Jesus Christ says a very interesting word. He says, the heart of Lord is mercy. He is physically completely made up of mercy. All he can see is that this is my child, and no matter what he has done, ultimately he is my child. I love him. I don't care what he has done. So Bhagavatam is speaking with that authority. Like, just worship Krishna. Why we are saying? Because that is, apart from that, we have no other scope. We have no other purpose. Srila Prabhupada ki. If anyone has any questions, you may ask. Bhagavatam ki
jai,
Prabhupada ki
jai, Sri Jagannath Priya Prabhu ki jai.